Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come up upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin on the Apostles' Creed, the third article, Sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing together the gospel of Luke. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had seen this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite our children to please come forward. right over here. Good morning. A very blessed Easter to you guys. Good morning. I'm going to show you some pictures and you tell me what they are. Do you know this first picture? That's a man standing on the moon, right? Did that really happen? It did. It happened a long time ago in the 1960s. When I was a little boy, this was happening. Now, how do you know that? Were you there?
No.
Have you talked to the astronaut?
No.
No. Have you seen the flag on the moon?
No.
How do you know this? Did somebody tell you about this? Did you learn it in school?
Dinosaurs were on the Earth before even humans got on the Earth.
That's right. Dinosaurs are here. And did you see the dinosaurs with your eyes?
No,
but you know they were here, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. By their bones, they leave a record. All right, let's talk about this guy. Do you know who this is? Abraham Lincoln. Who was he? Did he sell Domino's pizzas? No.
No, he was a president.
He was a president, the 16th president. And when he was president, there was something in the United States called the Civil War. And you might read about him and know him. Now, did you meet the president?
Yes, I'm Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah, he's up there, isn't he? That's right. But have you shaken hands with him?
No.
We haven't talked to him either, have we?
No.
But we know about him because people have told us about him. And we know that he was very important in what he did. This morning in the gospel reading, we have the story of a guy named Thomas. And Thomas was one of the followers of Jesus, right? Thomas was a disciple of Jesus. Now, Jesus rose from the dead. We celebrated that last Sunday, right?
Right.
And Jesus came out of the grave and he was alive and well. And when he came alive, he went and he appeared. He was there in the room with his disciples. There were 10 of them in there and Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus came and he said, "Peace be with you." And they all saw him with their own eyes and they knew about him. A little bit later, these guys were talking to Thomas. Thomas wasn't there that first Sunday. And you know what they said to Thomas?
What?
"We've seen the Lord. We've seen him with our own eyes." Now, that's something that's pretty hard to believe because do dead people come back to life again?
No.
Not usually. But Jesus did. And that was so exciting. And they said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And you know what Thomas said?
What?
"I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe you guys unless I can take my hand and put it in his hand and see that hole. And I can take my hand and put it in his side and see where the soldier stuck the spear in." Thomas was not believing. Even though he heard the eyewitnesses right there, Thomas was not believing. It was like Jesus wasn't enough for him. So a week later, now Thomas is in this same room. And the disciples are there, and Jesus comes and stands in the room with them again. And this time is Thomas is there. Now, Thomas has just said, "I don't believe in Jesus." How do you think Jesus would react to that? What do you think Jesus would say to Thomas?
I think he would say, "What? I don't know."
Well, he said, "Thomas, take your hand and put it right here in my hand and see the hole. Thomas, take your hand and put it in my side. Thomas, stop your unbelieving and believe." And you know what happened?
What?
Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believed. You see, Jesus didn't get after Thomas. Jesus didn't scold Thomas. Jesus forgave Thomas for his unbelief. And when Jesus talked to him, Thomas went from unbelieving to believing in Jesus, because now he has seen and he has heard and he believes. And that's important for all of us. It's important for us to be here where we hear about Jesus with our ears, where we receive Jesus in the Lord's Supper, where we're gathered around people who know who Jesus is, so that we, just like Thomas, can say this. Will you repeat this with me? My Lord and my God. Let's say that together. My Lord and my God. And that's what Thomas said. Thomas was believing because Jesus called him to faith. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for dying.
Thank you for dying.
And rising.
And rising.
And forgiving us.
And forgiving us.
Thank you for giving us faith.
Thank you for giving us faith.
That we may believe,
that may believe
and be forgiven.
And be forgiven.
In your name.
In your name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here. And we continue with our next hymn. Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again that through your Holy Spirit you have called us to faith. You have given us the ability to trust in you and your word for forgiveness, peace, and salvation. Strengthen us now by the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. There are very few times when we preach on Sunday morning that the events that we preach about actually occurred on this morning. Easter Sunday is a prime example. The Sundays we gather and celebrate Christ rising from the dead is the actual Sunday that he rose, just years removed. The events of the gospel reading for today are the same. They occurred 1 week after Jesus had risen and appeared to the disciples. That the earth, the world, our lives changed last Sunday. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. And the disciples were there in the room, still trying to figure out what that meant, still afraid of the Jews. And Jesus stands before them and says, "Peace be with you." They saw Jesus with their own eyes. They knew he was risen from the dead. There were 10 in the room. Judas was no more, and Thomas wasn't there. It's a week later now. Thomas is again with the disciples. The question in the last week was, where was Thomas? Why wasn't he there? Maybe he had important matters to take care of, like getting the tread on his sandals rotated, or figuring out the extended warranty on his donkey. More than likely, Thomas was not there because of doubt. Thomas didn't believe. Thomas had no hope. And with no hope, why would you gather? In the week that followed the resurrection, Thomas met with the rest of the disciples, the eyewitnesses, the 10 in the room. And since Thomas was there, they couldn't wait to tell him the great news. "Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's not dead, he's alive. We've seen him with our own eyes." the same excitement that we gather, and we can't wait on that Easter Sunday to say Christ is risen and let the alleluias ring once again. The same excitement for the disciples because death had been defeated. Jesus has risen. Sins are forgiven, salvation given to all, and their Savior stood before them and they saw it. The same excitement. And Thomas, his response back to them, was a faithless one. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas was in the garden with Jesus just a little over a week ago. 3 days later, he was not there. He separated himself from his brothers in faith. And now, just a week later, Thomas is tempting God himself in unbelief. I will believe on my terms, God. You must show me. You must prove to me. You must give me more than just your word. You see, this is what happens when we separate ourselves from the very word of God and from the people of God that gather together. Maybe for you and Thomas, maybe it's a big event, like the death of a loved one that caused you to separate from God's people and God's promises. You can't bear to go to church alone. You can't bear because when you come to church, you realize the separation and the loss. Separating yourself from God's people and his gifts is really separating yourself from the very things that will bring you hope and healing and peace from the tragedy. There is a very underrated gift in the church. It's you. It's all of you who gather here time and time again to hear the good news. It's the mutual consolation of brothers and sisters in Christ. If Thomas had met with the other disciples on that first Easter morning, they surely would have continued to encourage him in what Jesus had said to them. They would have reminded Thomas of what Jesus said and what he'd done. They would have pointed Thomas to the Word of God to fight his unbelief. Thomas would have been there where Jesus was, and his very word would have stopped his unbelief. St. Paul writes about this great gift that God has given to his church, you, and he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God." You see, St. Paul reminds us that the very gift of gathering together is a gift to the church, where we continue to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another in our doubts, in our fears, and to carry that burden for others. We've heard just a week ago the greatest good news ever. Christ is risen. And hearing that good news gives us assurances that God has kept his promise to send us a Savior. Hearing the Word of God forgives our sins. Hearing the Word of God gives us hope, strengthens faith that clings to Jesus alone for hope. A lot of times we mistakenly think, though, that if I'm struggling with sin, like Thomas, struggling with unbelief, or if I'm struggling with doubt or something like that, that I should not go to the Lord's Supper. That's not the case. If you recognize that you have sin, if you're sorry for your sins and you want to do better, that's the very reason to come to the Lord's Supper, where we receive his forgiveness. Where we receive his word given to us that not only forgives our sins, but strengthens our faith. God meets us in his word and in his promises. It's in, with, and under the bread and wine. Jesus is for you, for your forgiveness, and for the strengthening of your faith. It's in the word and promise of Jesus, in his body and blood for you, where Jesus gives us those gifts that continue to strengthen our faith to cling to him alone. We are created, all of us are created, to be in community with each other. There has never been a time in your life where you have not been connected to a community. Here we are in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the community of each other. We're never meant to be separated. We're never meant to be alone. The body of believers is a gift to the church that is encouraging each and every one of us to not only receive forgiveness, but to carry the burdens of others, to pray for them, and to encourage them. St. Luke reminds us of the disciples in the early church, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's God's word, and to the fellowship, the gathering together of the saints, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and the prayers. We find healing in God's word, in being around our church family, in the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. Thomas sacrificed all of those things, and the result was unbelief. Thomas's unbelief is what happens when the word of God is not enough. We want more from God. We want God to give us proof. We have to have a feeling. We have to have something more than just his word. When the word of God is not enough, we tell God how we're going to believe. Remember what Thomas said? Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe. When the word of God is not enough, we interpret everything through human reason and emotion instead of through the gift of faith that clings to Christ, the very word of God. When the word of God is not enough, then Jesus himself is not enough. The cross is not enough. Easter is not enough. When the word of God is not enough, the final result is unbelief that will lead to damnation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the word is enough. We saw that last Sunday. Today, just 1 week after Jesus kept his word, has defeated sin and death, has risen, he came and stood among his disciples, still wondering, still not understanding, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your hand here. See my hands? Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." The word of God is enough. Jesus isn't put off by Thomas's unbelief. Jesus, with his word, calls Thomas from unbelieving to believing. Thomas doesn't have to have physical proof now. He doesn't, excuse me. The scripture does not record that he reached out and put his hand in the fingers or in the nail holes or in his side at all. He believes because the word of God is enough. Thomas is forgiven. Thomas is restored. Thomas is given peace with God, and then he gives one of the strongest confessions that's in all of the scriptures. "My Lord and my God." The word is enough. God's word is enough. It does what it says it does. You're given faith because the Holy Spirit has called you, gathered you, enlightened you with his gifts, given you the gospel through Jesus Christ, the very word of God. You're given faith. You're forgiven because of the word pronounced to you when Jesus rose from the dead. You're forgiven because you believe his word. You're given these gifts, and Jesus continues to strengthen and remind us of these good gifts through his word. We have hope, we have peace, because the word of God dwells in us and in you. And in that word are his promises. The word is enough. Peace be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.